invite you to pray by yourself quietly, and then I'll close this. So, come, Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for this time. We welcome your ministry in Jesus' name. We thank you for being here. We just remember what Jesus said, that you would come and lead us into all truth and remind us of the things that Jesus has said. That all the things that were freely given to Jesus, you would make them known to us. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would do these things here in our midst today. We just confess how little we see and understand. We ask that our eyes would be open and that our hearts would be enlightened. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who here remembers the movie Inception? Oh, everybody gets excited. That was a good one, wasn't it? Let me ask you this. Who loved the ending of Inception? Who hated the ending of Inception? Yeah, okay. It didn't end, right? It was one of those endings where it just left you questioning reality. Conclusions are important, aren't they? Like they can, you know, I mean, if for all that happened in that movie, everybody's always talking about the ending, the conclusion, or even, you know, a series like Lost. Everybody's, you know, they don't really care about what happened all through the season, but they care about what did you make of the ending type of thing. So conclusions are important. Isn't it amazing how a well-crafted conclusion can still have an effect years after you saw it or read it? I don't know if they still do them anymore. Do you remember when I was a kid, they had these choose-your-own-adventure books? Do you remember those? But anyway, the point was that you didn't read it straight through. You would read to a point, and then it would give you a choice. If you went this way, turn to page 84. If you went this way, it was turn to page 78 or something like that. But you got to choose, like, how the story would go. And the fun part was we'd go back to that decision point and check out the other path after you'd done finished reading it. So there's this place in certain types of conclusions and endings where they kind of leave you hanging a little bit. But in a positive way, there's some tension. There's a wrestling out. You get to kind of choose what you make of it. Today, we're continuing on, as you can see, in our gospel, in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're more specifically in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to take a break for the next few weeks after this and get into some Advent messages, and we'll probably get back into Matthew later January. But we're in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount today. And the interesting thing is that we get to make some choices. Jesus gives us an open door here to make choices with what he says, with the reality of the kingdom that he's presented to us. It's what will you do with it? What will you make of it? And so we get to wrestle through some of these things. So beginning in verse 13, Jesus begins with this. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate." Of course, what does it mean to enter? Jesus is using some word pictures here. He's using some imagery, and he's calling us to enter into something. And I want us to understand that our walk of faith, our walk in the kingdom, is a cooperation with the grace of God. You know, sometimes we err on saying it's all grace, like there's nothing on us, or sometimes we're like it's all you, like there's nothing dependent on the grace of God. But grace works in cooperation with our obedience. He's offering grace, but we must enter in. He's offering grace, but we have to walk it out. And so when he talks about entering through this narrow gate, he's, as we've said all through this, the Sermon on the Mount isn't a list of do's and don'ts. It's about who we become. And it's about embracing a kingdom way of life unto our transformation. Not just the gospel isn't about all of us becoming better rule followers. The gospel is about us becoming something brand new, about us being transformed into the image of Jesus. That's impossible apart from the grace of God, but you and I have to enter in. We have to walk this out. There's a book I read. It's very popular recently, but it's called Atomic Habits. And he makes the whole point in there. He says to grow in a habit that you want to develop, it's not so much I hold to this regimen as it is I become this type of person. And so he uses an example like working out. And he says even some people have said, you know, like I go to the gym. I don't work out. I just go to the gym because I want to become that type of person who goes to the gym. And so he says literally people just drive into the parking lot, sit there for a few minutes, and then go home. But that's in progress to becoming a person who works out. They just got to, it's about identity more than it is about your ability to hold to a list of do's and don'ts. And Jesus, what I find amazing here is that he frames it in the idea of a path. In other words, you're not at the destination yet. You're on a path. It's a process of becoming. And this is, he even presents this in the gospel when he talks about, when Paul talks about the cross, he says, God made Jesus, who didn't know sin, to become sin for us. That was the work of the cross. God took the sin of all humanity, put it on Jesus, in order that you and I might become the righteousness of God. And our spirit's been transformed. We've been credited with the righteousness of God, but our path is that our mind, will, and emotions all need to come under his authority, come under his direction and leadership. So it's more than just simply following a list of rules, but the transformation into a person who, as Jesus said, would fulfill the law. So think about that. As God commanded, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. There's a threshold there of not having idolatry. Jesus calls us into the fullness. Jesus calls us into transformation as a person, not just don't have any other gods before me, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The threshold of the law is do not murder. Jesus invites us into the fullness of the law by saying, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, and bless them. The threshold of the law is do not steal, do not covet. Commands of Scripture are think of others as better than yourself. Look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so we understand that this is much more than just simply trying to attain and hold to a list of regulations. This is about our transformation and becoming the fullness of the law, which is Christ himself. So Jesus calls us to enter this gate and enter this path, which means that we have to leave the path that we're on. You not making a choice is making a choice. We are all born on the broad path. We are all born on the into the wide gate. We're already there. But we have to leave that and enter through the small gate, walk the narrow path, which means another way of saying repentance. I have to leave these things behind. I have to adhere or move in a different direction. And it's a small gate, which means you can't take a lot with you. It's a narrow path, which means you don't have room for a lot of luggage. And so throughout this sermon, Jesus has been calling us to leave our self-righteousness and embrace a poverty of spirit. He's calling us to leave a vindictive and vengeful spirit and embrace mercy. He's calling us to leave the esteem of man and embrace meekness. He's calling us to leave the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and to embrace purity of heart. It's like I said, it's not just about just don't do this and don't do that as it is. It's the work of grace in us is transforming us into something brand new and something radical. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life and only a few find it. You're not going to stumble into this. It actually has to be searched for. It has to be fought for and won. And the interesting thing is, the only way I know how to phrase doing this is that we search for it by allowing ourselves to be searched. We search for it by allowing ourselves to come under the judgment of Scriptures. That sounds like a harsh word, and it is, because it's death to our flesh, but judgment from the Word of God is so refreshing. Isn't it nice to know, like ever have an experience where you didn't know, like a job maybe, where you didn't know what you're supposed to be doing or if you're doing it right, and somebody comes along and gets real specific and says, I want it done this way, in this order, and in this time frame. You're like, thank you. Now I know where I'm at in getting this done. And so the Word of God comes and it's real clear. Hebrews talks about the Word of God being a sword, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to the bone and marrow, soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and intentions of our heart. We find this narrow path by allowing ourselves to come under the judgment of Scriptures, allowing and through the power of the Holy Spirit, asking Him to search us and know us, to see if there be any wicked way in us, and to lead us in the narrow path, lead us in the way everlasting. This is how we find this narrow path. This is how we enter through the narrow gate. I'm going to skip down. In your Bibles, you may see a section that says false prophets. I'm going to skip down to where it talks about the two builders here. We'll get back to the false prophets at the end. More specifically, as far as entering the narrow gate, the small gate and the narrow way, how do we enter? How do we find? Jesus says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." There's a hearing and an action. There's a reading, a hearing, and then we have to follow through on it. We hear it when we open up the Word. We hear it in our times, our daily times of being with the Lord in His Word and allowing that Word to penetrate, to pierce our hearts. Even the idea of understanding means I am standing under this Word. I am standing under what He has decreed. This is why it's important for all of us to be here, even at this time. It's because we're coming into a place where the Word of God will be sung and preached and expounded on so that we can have understanding. This is why home groups are vital to us. We're gathered around, all of us together, looking into the Word of God together and then discussing and processing it and thinking it through and looking for application to our lives. And even as we gather around other believers, Paul instructs us to let the Word of God dwell in you richly, as you admonish and correct and teach and encourage one another. Like the Word of God in you is for one another. And so we get around other believers. It matters who your friends are. It matters who you hang out with as far as being able to hear the Word of God in your life. But it doesn't end there. Many of you are familiar with this verse in James that says, "Do not be doers of the Word," or merely be doers of the Word and not merely hearers only. Because there's more to this. There's more than just hearing. It's good. There's power in that. Faith comes through hearing the Word. But then there's our response. There's our action steps, the things that we do following this. So Jesus says, "He says everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fail because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." In Luke chapter 6, Jesus is preaching a similar sermon. It's a different setting. But he gives a little, elaborates on this same image. He says, "The wise man dug down deep and laid a foundation on rocks," on rock. When we hear the words and put them into practice, our foundation goes deep and it becomes strength. You can understand a concept, but you don't really know it until you walk it out. And the imagery here is so powerful because it's not just the teachings of Jesus aren't just something you add to your life. It's actually what you build your life on. It's the foundation of the house. The teachings of Jesus are not the decorations of the house. It's the foundation of the house. And a house is where you live. It's your dwelling. It manifests itself in every area. It transforms you, your marriage, your family, your work life, your finances, your entertainment choices, every part of you, because your entire life is built on the teachings of Jesus. Not just the teachings of Jesus are just kind of added to it. Which is radical. Because that's how so many people end up coming to Jesus. Like, if I could come to Jesus, I could still have my life and it'll just be a little better. And I could just kind of clean myself up, be a nicer person. People think highly of me. Maybe when I get to heaven and stand before God, He'll think better of me. But I can still have my life. I can still hang on to this. I can still cling to this. Meanwhile, it's Jesus saying, no, we got to tear down the whole thing and build it on rock. We got to build it on something that will last. And it changes and transforms. Like, I'm not a builder, but it's easy to understand. I've heard it said from builders, like, if the foundation is off, the entire building is off. You'll never get it right. This is so crucial and so important, why Jesus, in his last words of the sermon, is driving this home. And when we build our lives on this, on these words of him, it goes deeper in us. And I've shared with you many times here so many stories of my testimony, but a number of years ago, the Lord was just gracious to us and really did a work in me. And when you, my history and my family, the way we resolved conflict was whoever was the loudest, longest one. And so that's just how, in any conflict in my life, that's all I needed to do was get louder, get more abrasive, get more aggressive, get in their face, tell them, and raise your volume. That helps. And God did a real work of just deliverance in my life as far as just dealing with those anger issues that were there. Over the past few years, there are certain dynamics in our home that changed, and all of a sudden, stuff just started coming back up. And I was confused. I'm like, God, I thought you set me free back here. I thought you really did a work. What I've come to realize is, it's not that he didn't do a work. It's not that that was work wasn't accomplished. It's something deeper he wants to touch. The amazing thing about, that's why I said I love being in the Sermon on the Mount. Every time I come back to this, there's another level, there's another layer, there's something else deeper he wants to touch me. I thought I was fine with this. No. There's more there. There's more there. I don't think we really, it's only in being in the Word and coming under its judgment that we recognize the true depravity of our nature. Like just how corrupt sin has, how much sin has corrupted. It's just there. And it comes back up, or he arranges sovereignly circumstances in our lives to address it. Like that's the beauty. The love of God is so faithful. He's like, we're going to talk about it. Like it's coming up. Yeah, because it's in there. God, what's going on? He goes, let's talk about it. Let's address what's going on in the inner workings of your heart so that your entire life can be transformed because your foundation just went deeper. You build it on my teachings. You come under my commandments. You build your life on what I'm telling you to do, and your foundation is stronger. I've talked many times about unforgiveness, and when we give instructions on unforgiveness, sometimes you can make a choice to forgive, and it's done, and it's settled. And it comes back. But I thought I forgave. You did. I want to go deeper. I want to do a deeper work of healing in your heart. I want to resolve this. I desire purity in hearts. I want to perfect love in you to such an extent that this is completely eradicated. In fact, you don't even go there anymore. We talked about, I told you many times, stories of learning as someone who's self-employed, learning to trust God with finances and the journey that goes on. We all go through this journey. We remember times in our past where it's like, oh my God, a $20 bill, how am I going to come up with that money? God provided a miracle! The next test is going to look like $100, $1,000. He's going to take us deeper. He wants to do a deeper work in us so that we trust him with every ounce of our being. That there's no part of us that would resist him or question his faithfulness. But you have to build your life on his teachings. You have to enter this small gate and leave behind the things you want to take with you. You have to walk this narrow path, and you can't take all of your security, all of your comforts with you. Because he's calling you into wholeheartedness. Sometimes we get a little wigged out when we think about we're in Revelations and we're coming up on. Right? And you read the verse there, it says, you know, anyone who takes this mark, they won't be able to buy or sell. What are we going to do? Don't worry about it. God's already doing it. He's already working in your life today to trust him to such an extent where if you deny this mark, you're just confident he's going to provide everything that you need. Sometimes we get all hyped up, like, how do we prepare for the last days? into the narrow path. Cultivate a heart that's soft and sensitive towards him, is responsive to him. Let his words go deep. He's doing it right now. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation that you're in, he's getting you ready, because both houses experienced the same storm. But one stood and one fell in the storm. And it was the one who allowed his teachings to go deep that endured. Jesus, you know, he highlights this again in the parable of the sower. He says, some seed fell on rocky soil, and it did take root, and it did spring up. He says, but when the sun came, it withered because its roots couldn't go deep. In the work, whatever situation, the struggle, the challenge that you're facing right now, God is in the process of getting the rocks out of the soil so that his word, his teaching can go deep, and you can be found standing on the day of testing, standing on the day of trouble. We get ready for trials by cultivating a soft heart. All right. Go back up into false teachers. So we're understanding this. The reason why I did both of those on either side of this is so we could understand the context here. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. What's Jesus highlighting again? Once again, it's the inner man. It's the inner place here. What's going on in the heart? The internals. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Okay. Outside, they look like this. But Jesus, what is the fruit that you're talking about? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. There's that action word, does. Not just hearing, but doing. The will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Are these many miracles? Are these prophecies? Are these prophetic words the fruit that Jesus is referring to? What is this fruit? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The problem sometimes is we read this story, it out of the Sermon on the Mount, and a lot of times the enemy or even well-meaning teachers sometimes will use it to drive fear into everybody's heart. Like you've been following the Lord as hard as you can with all your heart, as much as you're able by the grace of God, but you still might show up and get surprised. Like God's going to be tricky on you. You might show up, he's like, I never even knew you. Like I've never prophesied that much or healed anybody that much or seen any deliverances. Oh my goodness, like if Jesus doesn't know them, how do I even know he knows me? Context here is hearing his word. The context here is building your life on the teachings of his word. The context is entering the small gate and walking the narrow path. You know that there are plenty of people who prophesy and don't know poverty of spirit. There are plenty of people who have deliverance ministries who are not merciful as our Father in heaven. There are plenty of people who perform healings who don't know meekness. And what does Jesus mean by, I never knew you? How does Jesus know us? And the way he knows us is back to the Beatitudes, right? The values of our King are the values of the kingdom are the values of our King. Jesus is poor in spirit. Jesus is meek. Jesus is merciful. Jesus is a peacemaker. And for him to say, I know you or I don't know you, is to ask this question, is what is in him, is it found in us? Do I know you? Do my values resonate in your life? Are our values his values? Is there alignment and agreement there? Even Paul says, he said, you know, if I understand all mysteries, do not have love, it counts. The problem with these people that come saying, Lord, Lord, where they built their life on. Is walking the narrow gate or entering, or walking the narrow path and entering through the small gate. It's the internals, the values of the kingdom. So the worship team come forward. No, okay. This is a fun little moment. My wife said your worship leader just went to the bathroom. Okay, the Holy Spirit's still here. He never has to have a bath. Try not to stare at Tobin oddly when he comes. I just want to say I love this place. So we're after this transformation. How does he transform us? Like I said at the beginning, grace works in cooperation with our obedience, with us hearing his words and putting them into practice, with us finding this narrow path and entering into it. There he meets us with grace, with power, and with the Holy Spirit. A little middle schooler in each one of us. Yeah, I love the prayer that Gail read for us last week in Ephesians 3. Out of his glorious riches and strengthening power through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. When we take build our lives on them, when we hear them, do them, when we hear them and obey them, grace is released in us. Christ is fully formed. So we become more like Jesus. He's so faithful, he's so patient, that he'll keep sometimes through our whole walk. He'll keep bringing us back to the same thing sometimes. I don't want to deal with this. Okay. He'll come back to us. I don't want to deal with this. Deal with this. Now let's talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. And then he just brings us into the situation where it's just two paths. Like, either I'm going to deal with this and repent and build my life on your teaching, or I'm just going to continue on fighting for whatever I think I need. So this is the end of the sermon. It's the end of the story. And he's presented us with two paths. You get to choose your own adventure. We all get to daily wrestle through what we're going to do with a presentation of reality that he's given us. With Jesus, I would plead with you to find the narrow path. Find the small gate. You know, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount over these past number of weeks, there's probably some point to where like, a lot of people go, that was a powerful teaching. I'm like, the whole thing is powerful because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just nails every single one of us. Like, it's not even because I'm any great speaker. It's just the points that Jesus makes just hit every one of us. Like, no one can escape. So there's probably something that the Holy Spirit has just highlighted in you that he wants to deal with. Enter the small gate. Walk the narrow path. Come into repentance. Leave it behind. Build your life on his teaching. Let it reside deep within you where it transforms you. You've heard the word, now do something about it. There's a quote from Billy Humphrey, director of the Atlanta House of Prayer, but he says this. He says, judge me now so that I won't have to face judgment then. Like, the word judges us today. And it's so good because so merciful, because we have time to repent. We have time to do something about it. If we face judgment on that day, all is lost. We can choose a path today. We can build our lives today. and follow him. Amen. Let's do this. We always like to close our time with prayer and ministry to one another. So if you have any need today you would like prayer for, it could be for physical healing, it could be for a breakthrough in your life or a stronghold that you just can't get free from. We'd love the opportunity to gather around and have some people gather around you and pray for you. So if you'd be willing just to slip up your hand, we'd love to have some people gather around you. One here. Anyone else? There. Okay. All right, let's stand together. I'll close this in prayer. Gather around these. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word never returns to you void. It always accomplishes everything that you intend it to. Lord, we thank you, we're as faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we thank you, Lord, as we've looked into this Sermon on the Mount, Father, the ways that you've wounded us, the things you want to highlight and address in our hearts. And we thank you for the gift of repentance. Thank you, it's in your kindness that you lead us to repentance. And so, Lord, help us today to follow you in that. Build our lives upon your instruction. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's gather around these two.